Have you ever made a wrong call with your kids? Maybe you've made a wrong call about a restaurant that you thought was going to be good, but then it turned out to be awful. Or you made a wrong call about a human being that you thought was going to be trustworthy, but he wasn't. Or you just made a wrong call in judgment. Well, there's a lot of that going around right now, particularly in the federal government, as we are realizing and the CDC is finally admitting that they were wrong about the vaccine, and it's not really going to help you as a new season of COVID, aka the flu, begins to make its rounds again. Whoopi Goldberg had to miss, boo-hoo, the opening of a new season of The View because after being vaxxed and boosted to infinity, she's got COVID yet again. And Jill Biden, also after being vaxxed and boosted, has been diagnosed once again with COVID. What do you do when you know that you're wrong? Well, the Bible has some encouragement for you. And while our government officials may not listen to it, I think you will. Stick around. I think you're going to be encouraged. Well, I hope you guys had a phenomenal weekend. We are getting ready to, and in fact, it's going to happen tonight at 6 o'clock. Do a grand opening here for the Homeschool Resource Center. If you're in the area, I hope you guys will come out and celebrate with us. We have some dessert trucks out here. We're going to be giving self-guided tours. We're going to do a ribbon cutting ceremony. We're very excited about what God is doing here in Vancouver, Washington, and we hope you guys will join us. Well, I was thinking about this today as I'm reading the headlines about all these people, you know, celebrities and, you know, mostly politicians. But what I find amusing is that they can't hide the fact that Father Fauci, the high priest of the Branch Davidians, was wrong. He said the vaccine's going to protect you. He said, don't worry about it. I told you guys when I was interviewing Kevin Sorbo the other day that I had seen a Fox News correspondent confess to getting vaxxed and boosted not once, not twice, not three times. Seven times. And now we're watching all these political elites and people who just begged you to get an experimental shot tell you that they're getting sick over and over and over again. The new variant, whatever it is, I can't even remember now, because the flu is going around, by the way. Our family had it last week. It's going around. There's this thing that we have to deal with in the world. It's called sickness. And we can't be afraid of every little virus that comes our way. And yet what we've watched now for the last 3 years is people in authority try to control your life because you might get sick. Well, guess what? You probably are going to get sick at some point. We want to take care of ourselves. This is why I have my friend Mark Sherwood and many other physicians on the show to tell you how to keep your immune system strong and healthy, how to keep stress down. Make sure you get out and walk, that you're exercising. Please, for the love, take vitamin D on a regular basis. Take care of yourself. And then if you get sick, like our family just did a couple of weeks ago, your body will be able to handle it. That's how we live to a ripe old age, is by developing our immune system, because we are exposed to germs all the time. But I was thinking about this inability of people in leadership, particularly in our government right now, who just cannot admit that they were wrong. They just can't do it. And I've made a bunch of wrong calls with my kids over, you know, the past 30 some odd years of parenting. Several of our kids are grown now, and I'm just starting to hear about some of the mistakes that I made as a mom. Some of my mistakes were funny, right? You guys have probably made some funny mistakes in your life. On the occasional night when everyone is home for a meal, my kids like to tell stories around the dinner table, and I become the object of many of them. I'll be honest, some of them are embarrassing, and I've been told that I spanked the wrong child, fell asleep during a piano recital, even left a child one night after Awana. I'd been home for a half an hour before I discovered my mistake. Now, in my defense, I had a two-week-old baby at the time, and so I'm going to blame that one on sleep deprivation, and my child, who was still at the church, was there when my husband was on staff, so they weren't entirely alone. But the fact that I looked around my house and didn't realize anyone was missing can tell you that even a mom can make a mistake like that. Sometimes our mistakes aren't mistakes at all, though. They're the result of sin. And if we sin against our children, it can have lasting consequences if it goes unchecked. And in my 30 years of mothering, I've learned a lot about myself. I can be overcritical. I can be unkind, especially when I'm tired. I have been impatient and even unjust. Knowing that I have wounded one of my children is heartbreaking and humbling, but it can also be a source of healing. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us for all unrighteousness. You see, the Bible lays out the blueprint for success in our human relationships. And it starts by looking in the mirror and going, okay, I was wrong. I don't have it all together. I don't have all the answers. Sometimes I make mistakes. I just think it would go such a long way. It goes a long way in our personal relationships. It goes a long way in professional relationships. It would go a whole long way in our relationship with our elected officials if when they make a mistake, they just go, you know what? That was a bad call. We blew it. And then the next time something comes around, you're going to be maybe inclined to say, let's give those guys a shot again, because if they make a mistake, they're going to be able to confess up to that mistake. I am so thankful that God offers forgiveness. He offers us forgiveness. He says, if you confess your sin, now there's the kicker right there, right? If you confess your sin, in other words, you have to be willing to say, okay, Lord, you know, I blew it. I thought I was right, but I was wrong. Or actually, I intentionally did what I knew to be wrong. Maybe I said something I shouldn't have said. I engaged in gossip or whatever it was. The Bible says that God will forgive us. And I'm so thankful for that forgiveness and thankful that my kids have been willing to forgive my shortcoming as well. Modeling humility is an essential part of becoming the people that God wants us to be. We have to be able to say when we are wrong. It is one of the most important traits in marriage. It's one of the most important traits in our relationships with other people. And it certainly is a very valuable trait as it relates to those people who are elected and in authority over us. Confessing our sin, saying that we were wrong, Donald Trump, is not a sign of weakness. It's actually a sign of strength. When you make a mistake, go back and correct it. If it comes to your attention and it's within your power to correct it, go back and tell that person that you were wrong. It lets those people who are listening to us know that we are serious about our relationships with them and that we're serious about being trustworthy in our relationships with other people. Not only is confession good for the soul, it's an example to other people who are watching what it looks like to have integrity in your daily life. And if you've noticed a pattern in your life of wounding people that you love, confess it to the Lord and make it right. There is healing when we seek forgiveness. And I wonder, like, I think of the national healing that needs to happen in our country right now, the healing that needs to happen in our churches. And I think so much of it could be, we can jumpstart it if we would just go, you know what? We were wrong. We were wrong about this. Maybe the part that we were wrong was genuinely an accident. Maybe we say, listen, I thought this, and as it turned out, that wasn't right. Maybe my discernment meter was off by about a half a nanosecond or whatever it was. There's something powerful about asking forgiveness. And so I want you guys to be thinking with me today about anyone in your life that you may need to go back to and say, you know what? I'm sorry. I was wrong. I blew it. Please forgive me. There is something so powerful about seeking forgiveness, because none of us is going to get it right all the time. And as we look and see what's kind of going on in the news and what's happening in the culture, it's troubling to me that we're watching many of these elected officials just dig their heels in when it's very obvious now that they were wrong about a lot of this stuff. And so I'm actually really praying that we begin to see our role in the culture as Christians in a different light. I think it's probably more important now than it's been in a very long time. And I'm thinking about it more and more and more as we're moving into a new season in the country.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What would happen, I wonder, if we began to be statesmen again? And it doesn't mean that we can't disagree, and it doesn't mean that we are soft on something that we know to be true, or that we're quiet, or that we're passive. It just means that we act with a certain level of decorum, that we act with a certain level of respect for our fellow human beings, or maybe even just respect for the office, or respect for the country, respect for our marriage, or whatever the relationship is that you see at the time. But one of the legacies of the last 7 or 8 years of politics here in the United States is that we have taken the idea of statesmanship and we've just put it away in a closet and decided, well, I guess that's not needed anymore, because after all, we can call people names, we can come up with nicknames for people that we don't like. We're no longer, we don't feel the need to take our voices out into the public square. And if they are in the public square, we know that we're likely to get shouted down, to be screamed at. And I'd like to see that change. I would like to see us begin to turn the chapter. And we have an opportunity because we've got elections coming up in 2024. We have an opportunity right now to make a case that's both public and polite, to make a case that is both hard-hitting and full of wisdom. And I'd like to see that happen. And so over here at Firmly Planted Family, we're going to, in just in a couple of days here, make a really exciting announcement. And we're going to give you guys the opportunity to get involved with this as we begin to make a change and a plea to the citizens, first of Washington State and then around the country, to say, let's have a return to civic engagement, a return to statesmanship, a return to saying, listen, I was wrong. There's nothing more powerful than a person who can admit that they didn't have all the answers. Maybe they just didn't have the information, or they were too quick to jump out ahead of this thing. And certainly, I mean, I can go back to the first couple of weeks of COVID and go, okay, like, you can see how people were afraid, particularly they didn't know what they were dealing with. I think they still really don't know what they're dealing with. But when we recognized that what we were doing wasn't working, that was the time for these elected officials to back up and go, okay, this isn't working. We need to go back to the drawing board. And I believe that there can be healing in that. And we need to start to see that again. So many things that are happening around us right now require that we are walking in such a way that our lives reflect that we are men and women of the King, men and women who are sold out, who want to be the people that God says he calls his own. And we should be able to be recognized. The Bible says you'll know there are Christians by their love. Now, I mean, you guys know me. That's not an excuse for passivity. It doesn't mean that we don't tell the truth. It doesn't mean that we don't engage. I mean, a lot of people use their Christianity as a sort of shield and they hide behind it. We see this in churches. I just did an interview yesterday with a podcast called Church and State, in which these two pastors were talking about the need again for the Black Robe Regiment, for God's people to begin again to engage in what's happening politically around us so that we don't wind up with a situation like what you saw happen during World War II, when where were God's people? Where were God's people? I mean, I think that in the last 3 years, we've learned what fear can do. And when the Apostle Paul was instructing Timothy on his earthly ministry, he said, Timothy going out into a world that was absolutely, literally terrifying. And Paul didn't give him any quarter. He said, Timothy, dude, come on. God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Well, what does that look like in the culture right now? Each one of us has to ask that of the Lord for ourselves. And I think God wants to show us, because we're not here for no reason. And I want to encourage you, as you watch people again begin to get out and campaign again, people will govern how they campaign. See somebody who is a slippery fish out on the campaign trail, they're going to be a slippery fish if they get elected. It should matter to us. We need to bring integrity. We need to demand integrity again of our elected officials and frankly of our candidates. We're not looking for perfection, right? We're looking for integrity. Integrity knows when to say it's wrong. Integrity knows when to say, you know what? This is my mea culpa. I'm sorry. And I would love to see, I mean, honestly, you guys, I would love to see that in some of our politicians and people who are running for office. I just wonder what in the world would happen if people started telling the truth. I don't know if we're ever going to see it in this lifetime, but I for sure want to be a part of that. I want to invite you guys because we're starting kind of excited. You can go right now and check it out. People get ready. For the next 3 months, I'm going to be taking you through the book of Revelation. And I think that studying Revelation right now, especially in the times that we find ourselves living in, is encouraging because God said, I don't want you to be unaware of things that are happening. The Bible, by the way, is where we get the warning about a one world currency. It's so interesting to see prophecy after prophecy after prophecy being fulfilled. And so as we study the book of Revelation, there will be things that maybe we will disagree about. There are good people who love the Lord and have studied theology and come out on the other side of studying Revelation with maybe a different opinion than me or a different interpretation of any given passage. But the most exciting reason that I think there is to study the Bible is because Revelation declares that there is a blessing for those of you who will take the time to study this important book. And so if you want to join me, you can go to Momstrong International or faiththatspeaks.com and get ready for the Revelation study. It is called People Get Ready. And I kind of want to retitle it, The King is Coming, because he is. The Bible says in the book of 2 Thessalonians that the Lord himself will descend from the heavens with the shout of the archangel, and the dead in Christ will rise first. We have so much to look forward to as believers. We don't need to live this life out in fear because we know how this thing ends. We know that God's going to win this thing. And as children of the living God, you also are destined for victory. We are not living for this city. We live for a city to come whose architect and builder is God. And in the meantime, God has us here, something that he wants us to do. So I hope you guys will join me for People Get Ready for my Bible study for the next couple of months. The book of Revelation is a heavy book. It's a meaty topic. There's a lot to discuss. And I think you're going to come out on the other side of it, knowing God's heart for you better, clearly knowing the word of God better, but also being able to shepherd the people around you so that we don't continually live in this place of fear and dread about what is coming. Yes, judgment is coming. The Bible very, very clearly states that God will be separating sheep from the goats, that there will be a judgment. We're going to talk about the difference between the white throne judgment and many of the other, what is the Bema seat? We're going to be talking about a lot of these things out of the book of Revelation, maybe words that you've just heard, but you don't understand. My grandmother, I grew up listening to my grandmother teaching the book of Revelation. She loved it. And she was excited about the second coming of Christ, excited about the rapture. And she knew that her heart and her soul were secure with God, the one who made her. And so when my grandmother passed from this world into eternity, she was not afraid. And you don't need to be afraid either if you are a son and daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So I hope you guys will join me for Faith That Speaks for that study in the book Revelation. People Get Ready. Also, my brand new book, Becoming Momstrong 365, is out. Momstrong 365 is out. It's available anywhere that books are sold. And I hope you guys will reach out and get it. I'm really excited to bring it to you. It's a 365-day devotional. So about a 400-word article every day and a passage of scripture that I'm going to be teaching on. But it gives you the opportunity just to do a few minutes every morning with the lover of your soul. God wants you to rest in who you are in him and to be a light wherever you are around you. And so I'm excited about Momstrong 365. Also, my goodness, you guys, I'm going to be all over the place in the next couple of weeks. I'll be in Charles Ford, North Carolina. Then I'll be in Ashland, North Carolina. I'm going to be in Nebraska. I'm all over the place this fall, so check out where I will be at HeidiSaintJohn.com/events. If you're interested in bringing me to your neck of the woods to speak at your event, we are now filling up our 2024 and 2025 calendar. And you can find out more about how to get me out to your event by going to HeidiSaintJohn.com and just clicking on the speakers tab. I want to thank you guys for leaving reviews for the show. Thank you for submitting questions. I'm going to come back tomorrow. We're going to answer some more of your questions. You guys are leaving, by the way, excellent comments on YouTube and also over at Rumble and at Spotify. So thank you for doing that. If you haven't figured out how to use the new Spotify tools, it's actually pretty cool what they're doing. And so you can go there and review the show. You can leave questions for me by going to HeidiSaintJohn.com/mailbox Monday. If you are a subscriber, if you are a VIP-er at the Heidi St. John Show, stick around because I'm going to come back for happy hour and give you guys a little bit of encouragement that I think is going to boost you into the next season of your life. You can subscribe to the show by going to Spotify and just clicking on the subscribe button, and then you will get an extended version of this podcast. We appreciate you guys listening. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Love your people well. Hey, you guys, get off the bench and onto the battlefield, and I'll see you back here again at the intersection of faith and